Okay, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It is a great pleasure to welcome our speaker today, and this is Professor Dario Latella, who's a professor of company law at the University of Messina, and he's an expert in company law and also in terms of the interface between company law and EU law. Now today he's going to tell us about the common concept in the revision of the European Insolvency Regulation. And I'm sure we are all very much looking forward to hearing much more about this subject. Professor Latella, I should say, is also a visiting scholar at the Center of European Legal Studies this term. We are delighted to have him here with us. So without any more delay, I just leave the floor to Professor Latella.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for inviting me here. Everybody listen to me? Yeah? Okay. I'm very, very proud to be here, and I thank the CLS, particularly Albertina, for this invitation. I'm very, very happy to be here. I told it a lot of times, but the Cambridge community is very warm, and I'm very happy to be with you in this occasion. So, probably someone of you knows that insolvency has been regulated in Europe by a legal act that is a regulation, not a simply directive. That regulation was the number 1346 of 2000. After 10 years, the process of reform started and produced before last summer, in June 2016, a new act that is a regulation as well. It is number 848 of 2015. It will be in force in June 2017. The regulatory and political approach of European Union to the regulation of insolvency and to its reform is actually not be analyzed from a substantive point of view, but just from a formal and procedural one. The regulation does not provide to harmonize substantive insolvency national laws, but simply creates a legal coordination between different procedures of insolvency. In this sense, the regulation contains an European framework for cross-border insolvency proceedings. It applies whenever the debtor has assets or creditors in more than one member state, irrespective of whether he is a natural or legal person. It provides which court has jurisdiction for opening insolvency proceedings by distinguishing between main proceedings to be opened with wide effects in the member state where the debtor has its center of main interest. That is what we call COMI. And the secondary proceedings to be opened with narrow effects where the debtor has a different venue. So the main changements in the reform have regarded the so-called pre-insolvency proceedings, or proceedings which leave the existing management in place. They are called also hybrid proceedings. This is what the Commission also calls rescue business. After the scandal, the financial scandals, the attention of the European Union has been concentrated on the rescue business. Second, moreover, it was difficult to understand how fixed the jurisdiction of each member state, above all in case of multinational enterprises or in case of venue shift. The former rules have been criticized for allowing forum shopping. This is a very important topic in European law and in European private law as well. Forum shopping by companies and natural persons through abusive COMI relocation. COMI, remember, is the center of main interest. Third, problems have also been identified with respect to secondary proceedings. With the opening of secondary proceeding, the liquidator in the main proceeding no longer has control over the assets located in the other member state. There were problems relating to the rules on publicity of insolvency proceedings. There was no mandatory publication or registration of the decisions in the member states where the proceeding was opened, nor in member states where there was an establishment. There was also no European insolvency register. Today is the first time that we have an European insolvency register, which would permit searches in several national registers. But judges need to be aware whether proceedings have already been opened in another member state. Creditors or potential creditors need to be aware that proceedings have commenced. Finally, the former regulation did not contain specific rules dealing with insolvency of a multinational enterprise group. So this is the first time with the reform of insolvency law that European Union provides for multinational enterprise group. So what about the reform? The recast of insolvency law has already been criticized. First, there is no provision regarding the need to regulate rescue or restructuring efforts in order to save the greatest possible going concern value before the opening of insolvency. You know that insolvency destroys the firm. Insolvency means that the firm cannot pay its debt. So no more going concern value can be kept into the insolvency procedure. Second, provisions regarding the groups are very weak. Thanks to the public consultation proposed by the European Commission and to the results of an investigation led by two universities, Heidelberg and Wien, empirical data show that the application of the insolvency regulation has created many concrete problems. One of these is represented by the use of COMI to locate the main proceedings and to understand where effectively is the debtor's venue. Where and what does COMI mean? The definition of COMI. The central provision of the reform is Article 3 and coordinates cross-border insolvency proceedings in the European judicial area. This is the principle fixed by Article 3. Only the judicial authorities of the EU member state, in which the main interests of the debtor are located, are competent for the commencement of insolvency proceedings, and these main proceedings are automatically and immediately recognized in all other member states, in alignment with the principles of the unity of mutual trust. The regulation is therefore based on the principle of the unity of the insolvency, according to which it's not possible to open parallel main proceedings over the same debtor. And the principle of universality, as all the assets of the debtor are included. All the assets of the debtor are included into the same proceeding. For the same reason, the regulation implies that all creditors have to concur to the same procedure which concerns the common debtor. This principle is concerned with substantive rules of insolvency and therefore is governed by national rules. So procedural rules are harmonized, but substantial rules are according to national laws. But it is very important to accept it is an assumption in order to understand how abuses of transfer of the seat can be restrained. This is what we call forum shopping, seeking for a favorable legislation. All the authors say that the concept of COMI is of a paramount importance for the application of insolvency regulation. But the legal definition is not clear. What is COMI? Article 3 states that the courts of the member state within the territory of which the center of a debtor's main interest is situated shall have jurisdiction to open insolvency proceedings. In the case of a company or a legal person, the place of the registered office shall be presumed to be the center of its main interest in the absence of proof to the contrary. So again, what is the center of main interest? According to the recital 13 of the recast, the center of main interest shall be the place where the debtor conducts the administration of his interest on a regular basis and which is ascertainable by third parties. But what is the place where the main interests are managed? Since 2001, the national courts developed two different concepts of COMI. The first one was called mind of management theory, according to which COMI is considered the place where the most important decisions of the insolvent company are adopted. The second approach was the business activity one, according to which COMI has to be identified by reference to criteria that are both objective and ascertainable by third parties in order to ensure legal certainty and foreseeability. In Article 3, we find a presumption that COMI corresponds to the place of the registered office. Obviously, with regard to the individuals, there is no similar presumptions. This is the central point of the matter concerning the so-called insolvency tourism or abuse of foreign shopping by the firms. The identification of the COMI of corporations represents one of the most controversial issues within the regulation. For this reason, the case law of the European Court of Justice has clarified the underlying concept and mostly factual elements of the COMI. According to the current structure of the regulation, the determination of COMI of a corporation is subject to two-stage examination. At first, the judges have to identify the venue. COMI is presumed to be located in the member state in which the corporation is registered. Second, a creditor or other interested person may assert and prove to the court that the main activities of the debtor are carried out in a different member state. Therefore, the main function of the presumption is to shift the burden of proof onto the party challenging the identification of the place of opening procedures. On the other side, according to the case law of the European Court of Justice, such a presumption can only be rebutted in exceptional circumstances, especially in the case of sham or leather box companies. However, in the recent development of case law, the European Court of Justice adopted a more relaxed standard and clarified that where the bodies responsible for the management and the supervision of a company are in the same place as its registered office and the management decision of the company are taken in a manner that is ascertainable by third parties, in that place, the presumption cannot be rebutted. But even in the case where a company's central administration is not in the same place as its registered office, the presence of company assets and the existence of contracts for the financial exploitation of those assets in member state or the then in which registered office is situated cannot be regarded as sufficient factors to rebut the presumption unless a comprehensive assessment of all the relevant factors make it possible to establish, they say, in a manner that is ascertainable by third parties, that the company's actual central management supervision and the management of its interests is really located in that other member state. Another aspect of the COMI relates to the legal personality of the insolvent company. The European Court of Justice clearly says that COMI of each legal entity has to be determined separately. Each debtor constitutes a separate legal entity and is subject to its own jurisdiction. Therefore, the opening of one unitary insolvency procedure over a group of companies is still excluded. We say the group does not exist from a legal point of view according to the European Court of Justice. The group is a kind of economic entity, but it has not legal personality. This is very important from a conceptual point of view. The European Court of Justice says that the group is subject to separate insolvency procedures and it is not constituted by a legal person. The reform would retain the concept of COMI because that concept ensures that the case will be handled in a jurisdiction with which the debtor has a genuine connection. This COMI approach is also in line with international developments, since it has been chosen as a jurisdictional standard by the United Nations Commission on International Trade Law in its model law on bankruptcy and cross-border insolvency. So what is important to point out is that thanks to the reform, the theoretical frame of insolvency regulation is going to take the form of a more effective set of rules. In this perspective, and regarding the problem of forum shopping, it has been introduced a kind of neutralization period or suspect period of 3 months, during which the transfer of the seat is not able to modify the identification of the jurisdiction. The introduction of such suspect period has been criticized by some others, but the most important problem caused by this provision is that the reform does not distinguish between several kinds of proceedings regarding the crisis of an enterprise. I mean that national laws provide both insolvency proceedings and provisional or restructuring proceedings. Insolvency is equivalent to a serious and deep economic crisis, normally reversible and unrecoverable. In these cases, it may happen that some companies could try to shop for more favorable legal conditions by shifting their seat. This has been typical for the shifting from European member states to Ireland and to England. There were been a lot of transfer, a lot of movements of venues, of the companies, from Italy, from Spain, from Greece to Ireland, because Ireland has a very favorable taxation law. But what happens if you transfer your seat when you are not able to pay your debts. This could be an abuse for your creditors or not. So let's see. Of course, this movement could be considered abusive, not legal, incorrect, unfair, if directed just to defraud creditors. But certainly, it should be neutralized by the provision of such a suspect period. On the other side, consider that the financial distress is a condition of pre-insolvency and not of insolvency, in which it's still possible to promote the rescue of the debtor in order to help sound business to survive and give a second chance to entrepreneurs. In these cases, company could look for a more comfortable forum, not necessarily because of abusive purposes, rather than for reasons of legal and economic efficiency in debt restructuring. The reform fails to consider that there is a deep difference between the purposes of commis shift with respect to a company in pre-bankruptcy conditions than those pertaining to a debtor in a simple rescue phases. Moreover, it's known that the more severe in the crisis and closer to the opening of the procedure will be the shift, but this assumption may not be applied to simple financial distress, in which the search for a more favorable legislation should be observed into a general freedom of movement. Articles 49 and 54 of the treaty. This is a conceptual ambiguity, which consists in the assimilation of two deeply different economic situations. In a more general and theoretical perspective, the freedom of movement and establishment for European individuals and entrepreneurs is one of the fundamental rights granted by the Union Treaty. In this sense, who is based in a member state can freely choose to incorporate in another member state, to conduct his business activities, even though there is no material connection with it, except a formal act of registration. The starting point is that freedom of establishment also covers commis shifts. Hence, companies can choose their own insolvency or rescue national regulation by shifting the seat. But at the same time, the protection of workers and creditors are imperative requirements in the general interest that in the European Court of Justice jurisprudence can justify such restriction. See, for example, the cases Carcentros, Uberzeri, InspireArt, Cartesio. According to the theory of abuse of law, each right has to be exerted correctly and applying the law to a specific set of facts. Hence, there is not any fraud or violation in an abusive exercise of rights, but only a judgment of unfairness or impropriety regarding the behavior of the debtor. This judgment could be too expensive if observed in a business context and should be reduced to a few challenging cases. In concrete, the distinction between a legal behavior and abusive one could be found in the comparison between the setting up of a company for the mere purpose of favor to be received by legislation, or, on the other side, just for the purpose of artificial arrangements. Probably we need to find a middle way between the legal presumption represented by the link to the registration office and the relevance of concrete circumstances that are able to rebut this presumption. Moreover, the found way should be compatible with the freedom establishment recognized by the European Union Treaty. What I think is that the European lawmakers should regulate differently the insolvency tourism that could be considered as abuse from the business tourism or shopping that has to be considered an expression of freedom in case of restructuring, for example. And finally, what about the effects of Brexit on the platform of the reform of insolvency law? I'm not an expert of European law. I'm not an expert of Brexit. I have much more questions than answers, but the recast will be into force from June 2017. So, as everybody knows, the now famous Article 15 of the treaty provides that after receiving a member state's notification of the intention to withdraw from the EU, the EU will negotiate with such member state. In the absence of such a withdrawal agreement between the ceasing member state and the EU, 2 years after the notification treaty will no longer apply to the withdrawn member state, and the UK will no longer have the status of a member state of the EU. We are now waiting for the decision of the Supreme Court. From the perspective of creditors and insolvency courts of the continental member state, Brexit would mean, first, that insolvency proceedings commenced in the UK would not automatically be recognized by the EU member states. That main insolvency proceedings opened in one of the member states would not have, as an auxiliary measure, secondary proceedings in the UK. That mandatory duties of communication cooperation between insolvency practitioners and courts are without a legal basis. That there will be great uncertainty as to what law will be applicable and whether the strong protection of third parties' rights can be maintained. Then, that the venue shifts or the insolvency of group of enterprises has to be ruled according to the international law and probably to the model law on cross-border insolvency issued by the United Nations. And then, that the European insolvency law should be applied to the proceedings opened before the formal Brexit. We are in this moment in a kind of de facto Brexit, but not in a formal Brexit. But there are actually no transitional rules. So it is very important that the agreements will provide on the matter. And then, uncertainty, as usual in law. Thank you so much.